Support for MPB comes from the Mississippi Museum of Art in Jackson. What Became of Dr. Smith by artist Noah Satterstrom is on view beginning April 20th. Learn more at msmuseumart.org.
This podcast is a local production of Mississippi Public Broadcasting and depends on the support of listeners like you. If you can, please donate today at mpbonline.org. And thanks.
Welcome to the Mississippi Arts Hour on MPB Think Radio, where each week we talk to a different creative Mississippian. I'm your host, Leslie Barker, Arts-Based Community Development Director at the Mississippi Arts Commission. And today I'm talking with record store owner, David Swider. His store, The End of All Music, is based in Oxford, but now it just opened a second location in Jackson. So welcome, David.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks so much for being here. I know you've had a really busy couple of months. So tell us when the new store opened.
Yeah, so we actually opened on Friday, October 1st. So very recently. And the Oxford store opened in 2012, so almost 10 years ago. So this is kind of a nice new way to segue into our 10th anniversary. The store in Vondren in Jackson is really beautiful and really happy about it. And we just had our whole first weekend opened, and it was amazing. Lots of smiling faces, lots of old friends, new friends, you know, really great weekend in Jackson. And glad I was able to do this today. It has been kind of a crazy couple of months for us getting the new shop open and running the shop in Oxford at the same time. We're kind of a skeleton crew, like most small businesses these days, but we've been able to really put in the work, and I'm really, really happy with the way everything's turned out so far.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, we really appreciate you taking time out of all the busyness to tell us about it, to tell us what's going on. And I want to hear so much about both stores, but let's talk about you a little bit. Like, you know, I want to know how you got to being a record store owner. So did you grow up in Mississippi?
I did. I'm from Greenwood, Mississippi, the Delta. I grew up there, and I've been in Mississippi my whole life. Like a lot of Mississippians my age, we all kind of think about leaving, but I'm still here. And I grew up in the Delta, and I moved to Oxford in 2003 to attend Ole Miss, University of Mississippi. And I graduated from Ole Miss in 2007. And I've been in Oxford ever since. So I'm coming up on, 20 years almost in Oxford. Opened the record store in 2012. But you know, growing up in the Delta, you have a lot of time to kill. And so me and my friends, a lot of times we would go to record stores, whether that would be the few smaller kind of CD shops in Greenwood, or we would drive to Memphis to go to Shangri-La Records, or Ghana Records, or Tower Records. Tower Records was like a huge part of my growing up. But even bigger than that, we would go to Jackson to Bebop Records and the Musicarium. Both of those places easily changed my life and took all of my yard cut money. And then Oxford had Uncle Buck's, which you know, I think is one of the greatest record stores I've ever been in. My sister came to Ole Miss in the mid 90s, and so I would save my money up, and we would come to visit her when I was a kid, and go to Uncle Buck's and buy CDs. And you know, I'm from the CD generation, and vinyl came kind of later for me, more kind of senior high school years through college. It just kind of has always been a part of my life. I also am of the generation of comic books and baseball cards. So growing up, I was always kind of collecting things, and you know, vinyl kind of hits the sweet spot with both of those things, with listening to music and being a fan of music, but also kind of like the collectability side of it. I try not to get too much into that. That's kind of a slippery slope for me with like first presses and all, you know, all these different variants of records. I just kind of want the record, but there's certainly an element of that that's really attractive to me, and kind of the nostalgia of it all, you know. But yeah, that's kind of the short version of it.
Hey, you're speaking my language with those record stores. I grew up in Clinton, which is right outside of Jackson.
So yeah.
Bebop, Musiquarium, I mean,
yeah.
You know.
Oh, man, my mom, you know, yeah. My mom and I would go drive over to Jackson. She'd drive me, and she would drop me off at Bebop on County Line Road, and she just knew that I could be there for however long she needed to do anything, and she'd give me $20, and, you know, I would just go in there and just pour over all the music and be interested in the posters on the wall and the music they had playing in the on the stereo in the store and the clerks. I was just kind of soaking it all in, and it was like that with Uncle Bucks too. I would just beg mom and dad, like, I don't need to eat lunch, just drop me off at Uncle Bucks and I'll be there all afternoon. So those two places in particular were huge influences on me growing up, as I'm sure lots of other Mississippians can say. I don't know. I definitely wouldn't be talking to you right now had it not been for those record stores.
I don't know what I would have done growing up without those places and the Little Big Store out in Raymond.
Yeah.
And also I lived in Memphis for a long time. And so Shangri-La, Goner, I lived pretty close to Shangri-La. So it's kind of my place, my favorite. They got a lot of my money.
Yeah. I love them. It's a great record store. I mean,
it really
those
is.
Are, you know, I when I was in college, the record store that was in Oxford, Hot Dog Records, which was a great record store owned by a friend of mine, Zach, and it closed in like 2006, which was kind of right in the middle of my college career and my undergrad years, and so we didn't really have a place to go for that. There was a little store in Water Valley, Mississippi called Blue Heaven that sold used records, and that was in a really amazing place that was there for a few years. We would kind of pilgrimage for, but I spent a lot of time driving up Shangri-La and buying whatever I could find that was on my list. But yeah,
that's awesome. So I hate I never got to go to Uncle Bucks. Like, I've heard such great things about it and Hot Dog Records. But so I'm curious, you know, growing up in the Delta, was it always part of who you were, like the music of the Delta, was that always something you were interested in? Did it influence you as, you know, your taste, your culture?
You mean like blues music or Delta blues and stuff? You know, I'm a kid of the 90s. So I grew up with a lot of that kind of stuff, you know, Nirvana, Weezer, you know, stuff like that, that was on MTV. I'm an MTV kid. I grew up, you know, watching MTV all the time. So it wasn't till probably I was like 16, 17, 18, when I got into some of the more living blues acts that we would see at festivals around the Delta, and at Greenwood had the Balloon Fest. So there would always be some acts that would play there, but mainly like RL Burnside and T Model Ford. I got to see Junior Kimbrough a couple of times before he passed away, but certainly those guys and Bobby Rush, you know, kind of the old guard blues guys that now, when I was growing up, they were still, you know, touring a lot. And so you could easily catch them. So those records, certainly like the early Fat Possum records that Junior and RL and T-Model did, were very influential to me. And I think I bought probably all of those CDs at Uncle Buck's.
That's awesome.
And just wore them out, you know? Yeah.
That's it. So, you know, those Junior Kimbrough and all those guys they're such a big part of, you know, just our state, and, you know, more so at the Arts Commission. My folk colleague Maria, who's over the Folk Life, I mean, I feel like, you know, there's so many people in that legacy that are still, you know, still making the music, still doing it. The picnics, the family's still going. But
well, I just saw Robert Finley open for the Black Keys here in Oxford, and he was amazing. I mean, he's got a new record out, and you know, he was just as good as the Black Keys, if not better, you know? And so yeah, certainly. I know what you're saying.
Yeah, I mean, it's so cool. It's so cool that's part of our fabric here. And I would love to hear you talk a little bit about, you know, with the Black Keys, their latest album is so influenced by by that music, and you know, specifically I believe the Hill Country Blues, but
right.
You know, I think it's so interesting because there's so many people who might be huge Black Keys fans that have no idea that they're listening to this music that wouldn't exist without these guys in Mississippi.
Yeah, well, I think the Black Keys would be the first people to tell you that that record is 100% North Mississippi Hill Country, and that their whole career is the backbone of that music is Hill Country blues. And I think kind of one of the main reasons they made that record was to introduce a lot of their newer fans and some of their, you know, fans that have been around for the big hit records to hey, this is where we come from. You know, we might be from Ohio, from Akron, Ohio, but this is the kind of music that we wanted to always make. And so it was a tremendous nod to North Mississippi Hill Country Blues. And, you know, it was really nice to see all the songwriting credits on the back of that album for RL and Junior and Fred McDowell. And so certainly I commend them for, you know, helping continue the legacy of those guys and putting us on the map from people who we otherwise hadn't really, hadn't thought about. So it was great when they played in Oxford at the Lyric. It was a great show, and tons of Black Keys fans came to town for it and came to the record store and bought blues records and were asking us all about who Junior Kimbrough is and who R.L. Burnside is. And it's fun to be advocates for that kind of music, you know. And all you got to do is put the record on and let it play and people understand it, you know.
It's really exciting. And there's like a whole new generation of, you know.
Yeah, hopefully.
Of listeners.
That's the plan, I think. Right, yeah.
And I feel like I saw so many pictures, you know, just through social media and stuff of actually, you know, doing shows in the Delta, recordings in the Delta, videos, whatever it was. So
it's really
exciting. Man, that's awesome. So while we're talking about, you know, Junior Kimbrough, tell us a little bit about his influence with the name of the shop.
Yeah. Well, so we get our name from Junior's tombstone, which the gravestone for Junior's marker says it's a quote by a rockabilly, a legendary rockabilly artist named Charlie Feathers, but he's quoted as saying Junior Kimbrough is the beginning and end of all music. And so that's where the name of the store comes from. And it's a pretty subtle nod. Most people don't know what Junior Kimbrough's gravestone says. I think, you know, we've really kind of embraced the name and I think our store is centered in such a part of the state where it should really be all about Hill Country blues music. Mm-hmm. So we certainly go deep on stocking that stuff a lot of the decorations in the store and posters in the store are all kind of Mississippi Hill Country blues type related thing, artifacts and stuff like that. And then the music, I mean, I think like all music, it kind of starts in Mississippi and you know, like we were just talking about the Black Keys, there would definitely be no Black Keys had there not been Hill Country blues. That's kind of just a little homage from us to those guys for making such like long-lasting great records.
This is Leslie Barker. Thanks for listening to the podcast version of the Mississippi Arts Hour. The show airs on MPB Think Radio every Sunday afternoon at 5. To access all of our past shows, subscribe to the Mississippi Arts Hour podcast using your favorite podcasting app.
On Southern Remedy Healthy and Fit, you get information about foods you should eat to stay in good health and tips on how to stay active. I'm Dr. Josie Bidwell, host of Southern Remedy Healthy and Fit, and Associate Professor of Preventive Medicine at the University of Mississippi Medical Center. Listen to the show every Monday at 11 or subscribe to the podcast by searching for Southern Remedy with your preferred podcasting app.
This is an MPB Think Radio podcast.
You're listening to the Mississippi Arts Hour on MPB Think Radio. I'm Leslie Barker, Arts-Based Community Development Director at the Mississippi Arts Commission. Today, I'm talking with David Swider about the End of All Music, a record store that now has two locations, Oxford and Jackson. So let's go back to the beginning of the store a little bit. So what made you decide, I'm going to open a record store in Oxford?
Yeah, well, I mean, the simple answer is that there wasn't one here. And I was having to drive to Memphis and Jackson and wherever to go to record stores. Because at the time, Bebop Records was still open. I was living with Patrick Addison, who is the label manager of that Possum Records, who's also my partner in the Jackson store. He and I opened it together, but I lived with him for about 7 years in college and after college. And I was always complaining about it. Like, there's no record stores, you know? And he was the one that was like, why don't you open one? And I had never thought about it. And I was working at Square Books at the time, the really great independent bookstore here in Oxford, and was kind of anxious to start selling music because I knew how to sell books and I was good at it. And so Patrick kind of planted the seed, and he introduced me to this guy, Bruce Watson, who now lives in Memphis, but is the general manager at Bat Possum Records. And Bruce had kind of the itch to open a record store as well. So he and I teamed up and opened the store in 2012. And then I bought Bruce's share out, I guess probably in like 2014, 2015, and became the sole owner and have been running it ever since. So yeah, we opened on North Lamar in like a little tiny metal building. And we were there for like 6 years. And it was very much a destination type record store. Mm-hmm. We had no foot traffic, very little car traffic. So the people that were coming there were record buyers, and we quickly kind of gained a good reputation of having the good stuff. And so people would kind of travel from all over to come to the record store, and we had tons of great events. And it was great. And then the opportunity came for us to move to the square downtown in Oxford. And it all just seemed right to me at the time. The space was perfect. So we made the move. I guess that was in like January of 2018. So we've been here in this spot for a while now, and it's all good. I can't complain. I was right that Oxford needed a record store, and that Oxford was the kind of place that that could support a record store. And the folks in town and our customers online, and I mean, it's just been unbelievable the amount of support we've seen through the years, especially during the pandemic. We're still here, and it really is humbling to see a city and a whole region really kind of be gung-ho about what you're doing.
Well, I gotta tell you, you talk about driving to Jackson, driving to Memphis to go to record stores. I lived in Memphis for a long time until right before the pandemic, and I knew lots of people who drove to Oxford to go to your store. So right. Very excited.
Yeah. We have a lot of great customers in Memphis. I've made longtime friends with people. Jeff that runs the Stax Museum, he always comes in and buys records. And
that's awesome.
I mean, it's just like you name it. Even the Goner and the Shangri-La guys, they're big supporters of our store as well. And it's all good. I mean, it's my whole philosophy is that you're not really in competition with other independent record stores, because the more people buying records is a good thing. And people that buy records, they go to all the record stores. You go where the records are. It's always been a really great camaraderie with all those guys in Memphis. And and I don't see that going anywhere. And now we're really good buddies with WYXR, the great radio station there too.
Very cool.
Yeah, Jared Boyd I met him from when he was an undergrad at Ole Miss. He used to come in the store in Oxford all the time, and we became record buddies, and now he's running a record station. So it's really a radio station. It's really amazing.
You know, the way that you said that about how, you know, if you have people, if you have customers that go to independent books, independent record stores, it helps all independent record stores. That's also how I really view the arts, like patrons of the arts, like,
definitely.
Yeah, whether it's theater or ballet or music or whatever it is, it's not, you know, let's get all the audience members. It's let's make more audience members, because if someone loves the art, they're gonna keep going back, just like with records.
And it's like in the arts, I think with independent bookstores and independent record stores, it's not about the money. I'm in the wrong business if I wanted to make a lot of money. You know, it's about keeping the money in our community and getting as many people to listen to good music and find the records they're looking for, and to be able to come into a very welcoming space. And it's all about that kind of stuff. Sure, it's about sticking it to Amazon because we hate Amazon, but it's you know, it's more about being part of the community and making sure we make Mississippi as best as we can, and make people want to live here and have that place. I mean, we're right across the square from Square Books, and I mean, I can't think about a better 1-2 punch than having Square Books and Innoball Music and within a block from each other. You know, that's really something, and I'm really, really proud of that.
I mean, I could spend all of my money in those two places. just take all my money. Right. And then you can go see a show at the Lyric and get some great food in the square.
But the thing is, I'll be there at the Lyric right next to you, buying a ticket and drinking beers. And, you know, so all the money just stays right within our little area. It's really kind of special.
You know, I was reading a little bit about how, you know, not only do you really support Mississippi music, but also everything that went into building the store was very Mississippi. Tell us about that.
Yeah, well, you know, when we were talking about opening not only the Oxford store, but more recently the Jackson, the Fondren shop, you know, we had originally talked about opening a shop elsewhere in another state, another city. We even flew as far as New York City to look at a spot in Manhattan. And, you know, the more and more we kind of kicked it around, the idea around opening another shop, it was like, man, let's just keep it in Mississippi. We have the customer base here. We have the support here. People know who we are. Once we kind of settled on that, it seemed like a no-brainer. And then the next step to that is like, well, if we're doing it in Mississippi, we gotta rep Mississippi. And so, you know, everything from the electricians we've used, I mean, obviously they're all live in Jackson, but all the art on the wall is from Mississippi artists. The name of the store is after a Mississippi artist. And then all our t-shirts are made in Mississippi and in Jackson. And so it was just like really kind of, it was cool to be able to say, well, if we're going to open the store, you know, the record bins are going to be made by a woodworker in Mississippi, and their sign hanging on the building is going to be hand painted by an artist in Mississippi. And so we've got a list of all those people on our website. It's just theendofallmusic.com, but you can kind of see all the different companies and artists and folks that we use to help us get open. We're excited.
I also saw that you have the Musiquarium sign. Is that right?
Yeah, we did. We kind of put out some feelers on social media that was like, hey, if anybody has any of this old kind of Jackson memorabilia, we would love to have a home for it. And I hope I don't get his name right. David McClarty came by with it while we were in the Fondren shop working on it. And it just blew our minds. I was like, I can't believe you have this. And so it's hanging up in there now. You can go by and see it.
Oh, that's incredible. That's awesome. So tell us a little bit about the new store. It's just, where is it? What's it like?
Well, it's in Fondren, right in the center of Fondren, pretty much. It's 3011 North State Street is the address. We're right next door to Barrel House, which is a kind of a bar restaurant, and Campbell's Bakery, which is one of the oldest bakeries in Jackson. You know, I am not from Jackson, but my partner, Patrick, who's the label manager of Fat Possum, he's born and raised there. And so he knows tons of people in Oxford. His mom and dad still live in Jackson. I'm in Jackson. So he was very excited when we found the space in Fondren. And it was kind of one of those moments where we walked in and it was like, okay, this is it. You know, it was like, I don't even have to think about this. The space is beautiful. It's got this great facade. Our sign looks beautiful on it. It's right where Dueling runs into State Street. So the location is really primo. And it's just a great area of town. There's lots of foot traffic. I really think it's kind of the arts hub of Jackson. And we're like really lucky to be kind of smack dab in the middle of it. And I think the neighborhood has so much more potential with a lot of new stuff that's going on there. So I think it's just going to get better and better. It's already great. So I think it's, you know, you can really come to Fondren and do just about anything you want, you know, go to a bar, go to get a good meal, watch a football game, go to the record store, you know, go shopping. It's kind of got it all. It's just a beautiful part of the city. Yeah,
I love that area. It is kind of like the equivalent of being on the square in Oxford.
Yeah, it's great. You know, Jackson, and that's what spot. It made, you know, that's what I tell Patrick, my partner. It's like, man, if you put the End of All Music Oxford and the End of All Music Jackson together, you have the greatest record store in the country. You know, So that's kind of the way we look at it. They're very much one big thing. You know, you just have to drive a little to get to both of them.
And you can also drive from Square Books to Lemuria on the same trip and just, you know, cover all.
Exactly. I stopped in Lemuria on my way out of town, opening the store this past weekend and bought some books. So yeah, awesome bookstore.
Oh, so good. Love it. I also read something about a browser beer.
Yeah.
Tell us about that.
That was our little harebrained scheme to be able to drink beers on the job. No, I'm kidding. You know, Fondren has some very welcoming beer laws for businesses. And they make it attainable to be able to sell beer. And once I found out about that, that's something I've been wanting to do in Oxford since we opened. It's like, why can't we have beers, you know, because beers go very well with a lot of things, but in particular, they go well with records and listening to records. So, I just had the idea, like, it'd be great to be browsing and be able to drink a beer. And then it was like, oh, browser beers, you know? So we took that idea and ran with it. And we installed cup holders in all the racks. So when you're flipping, you can set your beer down. And if you buy a beer, we give away a free koozie that says browser beer. And it says, thanks for sipping and flipping. So we kind of really took the idea and ran with it. And it's been really fun. We get to stock a bunch of really great beers. We just got the Wiseacre beer in from Memphis. We sell Yazoo. We're looking forward to working with Fertile Ground and Jackson once they get up and running. There's a lot, we have tons of ideas with that for that as well. That's been really fun. And I mean, who doesn't like the cold beer, like while you're, you know, flipping through records?
Flipping and sipping. That's so awesome.
Yeah, flipping and sipping.
This is Leslie Barker. Thanks for listening to the podcast version of the Mississippi Arts Hour. The show airs on MPB Think Radio every Sunday afternoon at 5. To access all of our past shows, subscribe to the Mississippi Arts Hour podcast using your favorite podcasting app.
Hi, I'm Jason Klein from Fix It 101. If you ever thought about changing the doorknob or fixing a leaky faucet, some jobs just aren't that difficult, and yes, you can do it. If you want to find out how to do those things, listen to Fix It 101, podcast everywhere.
This is an MPB Think Radio podcast.
You're listening to the Mississippi Arts Hour on MPB Think Radio. I'm Leslie Barker with the Mississippi Arts Commission, and today I'm speaking with record store owner David Swider. So David is actually at the End of All Music right now, and we're talking about the music and the store and everything. And so tell us about a record that you actually created through the End of All Music.
Yeah, so we, in February of this year, we released a record we call Hospitality State of Mind. And on the hype sticker, which is like the sticker on the front of their album, it says the End of All Music presents a collection of blues and gospel songs recorded by George Mitchell. And so what we did is we went through the George Mitchell collection, which is a really large collection of recordings that George Mitchell made in the mid 60s throughout the 80s. And George was kind of the Alan Lomax type figure of North Mississippi. He just traveled all around with his recorder and his camera, and he photographed and recorded who now we consider some of the greatest bluesmen of all time. That would be R.L. Burnside and, Joe Calicoat and Fred McDowell and Furry Lewis and like all of these people. So George's recordings are very, very important to our state and to our region in particular. And so what we did is we just kind of went through all the recordings and picked our favorites and licensed all of it from Fat Possum Records, who owns the recordings. And we got a whole new packaging together for it. My friend, who is a Jackson native, or I guess I should say a Madison native, Josh Burwell, he did the artwork for it. Ben DePriest, who works here at the store in Oxford, he just got his PhD in musicology from the University of Pennsylvania. He wrote the liner notes for it. And then we kind of all collectively picked the songs. And they feature Otha Turner from Como, Mississippi, Mississippi Joe Calicoat from Nesbitt. We got Robert Nighthawk from Dundee, Mississippi, Furry Lewis from Memphis. Lots of really great artists. And we kind of like to tell people that this is a really chill record, a good way to get into this type of blues music. It's without it being kind of an academic thing. A lot of blues records can come off as a little academic, a little Smithsonian folkwazy. We wanted this to be a record that you can play and flip and over again. And I think we really crushed it with it. We're already considering doing a volume two sometime next year because this one's kind of gone over so well. It's the kind of record where somebody walks into the store and they're like, what can we get? We can't get anywhere else. And what sounds like this that doesn't sound like anything else around? But we just grab this record hand to them. They're like, this is an easy $20. And we have it in stock at both the Jackson store and the Oxford store. It's a beautiful record. I highly recommend it. Give a spin.
Hospitality state, right?
Those hospitality state of mind.
Hospitality state of mind. Perfect. Yes. Perfect Mississippi music title.
Yes.
So you mentioned working with Fat Possum a little bit, and you've mentioned that a few times. So tell us about your relationship at the End of All Music's relationship with Fat Possum.
Yeah, well, first and foremost, like I said, I used to live with Patrick Addison, who's now the label manager there. And Patrick started working there as a warehouse stocker back when we were living together and when I was still working at Square Books. And he's been there, 15 years now, I guess. And that's the main connection, is just that he and I are best friends. And so we're kind of always talking shop. And then Bruce Watson, who helped me open the store in 2012, he also worked at Fat Possum. But those are kind of like buddies, where I'm buddies with them. And because of our proximity to them, they're based here in Oxford. Their warehouse is about a mile from my store. So based on proximity, we're kind of an unofficial record store for them. And I mean that in that we stock all their stuff. So if you come to Oxford and you want to buy some Fat Possum stuff, you come here. They don't have a storefront. We go deep with their catalog. And a lot of the early catalog is blues stuff, mainly Junior Kimbrough, R.L. Burnside, T Model Ford, stuff like that, which are records we obviously have already talked about on the show that mean a lot to me and the store and our customers. So we're big champions of the label and like to kind of shout it from the rooftop that they're doing the good stuff. But that's about as far as it goes. And certainly we've done projects like this Mississippi State of Mind Hospitality Blues record. Not Mississippi State of Mind, Hospitality State of Mind. I got it wrong that time. But they're really open to working with independent record stores. I encourage any independent record stores that are listening to this to hit up Fat Possum. They're a great company to work with and great prices on records. They got stuff in stock, which is a lot of labels don't right now. And if you don't have Junior Kimbrough in your racks and you're on a record store, you need to get some.
So if somebody came into the store, we know you would tell them to check out Hospitality State of Mind. Are there any other Fat Possum picks that you're like, you got to check this out?
Well, there's a great Junior Kimbrough compilation of greatest hits called You Better Run, the Essential Junior Kimbrough. I mean, that is as good as it gets. There's an R.L. Burnside record called Mississippi Hill Country Blues that's an early recording of him playing acoustic blues. That's also really good. I really love the 2T bottle Ford records, Pee-wee, get my gun and Bad Man. Those are great. All of those records are very good examples of hill country blues and kind of how it's different from the Delta. It's raunchier and it's a little more, it's a little more droney. It almost is like, it can hypnotize you in a way that's kind of interesting that I think a lot of blues doesn't do. But I mean, you can almost close your eyes and pick a Junior record or an RL record and you're going to dig it. They're all really good. And we certainly, if you come into either one of our stores, we'll talk your head off about them.
I'm glad you touched on that, the difference between, what sets the hill country blues apart, because if you haven't heard it,
right,
you just don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. It can be, it's a little louder. It can be a little sloppier in some ways. And I mean that in a good way. It's party music, you know, it's more about having a good time and in spite of having a bad day or whatever. I think anybody can relate to it. I mean, I think anybody can relate to the blues in general, but I think once you hear kind of like a driving guitar, North Mississippi Hill Country guitar song, it definitely sounds unique and doesn't sound like any other type of blues music. I mean, so much so that I wanted to name my record store after it. So, you know, yeah.
That's awesome. It definitely kind of gets in your bones, you know, when you listen to it.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
And that's awesome. It
goes well with a browser beer.
browser beer on beer and hill country blues. I mean,
yeah.
It's a great way to spend a Saturday for sure. I want to talk a little bit about what it looked like during the pandemic for the record store. How did the last year and a half affect or not affect the work?
It was nuts. I mean, I think any small business owner will tell you it was a lot of ups and downs. I mean, we didn't even know if we were going to make it, you know, when the pandemic hit, we were like, well, that's it. We're going to have to close. Certainly the Jackson store was put on the back burner. Because we had been discussing opening it for about a year before the pandemic hit. We had to kind of slam the brakes on everything and reassess and pivot to online sales. And, you know, every week that would go by, it would be like, all right, it's not so bad. We're hanging in there. We're, you know, people are buying records. And we came up with all kind of silly ideas of how to get people records, whether it was local delivery or we're on a second floor in Oxford and we have a balcony and we created what we call the dumb waiter. And it was simply a record crate. Yeah, it was simply a record crate tied to a rope and people would buy records over the phone and they'd come by and we'd put them in the bucket and lower it down to the street level. So they didn't have to come upstairs and we didn't have to, you know, be really, we could social distance and all that kind of stuff. And people just loved it. I mean, we were on CNN for that, which was really hilarious.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah. Anderson Cooper like featured a little thing about it, you know, just how businesses are doing unique things during the pandemic. So we tried to have as much fun with it as we could. We made all these hilarious videos for social media. Kieran, who was actually in Bonus, the song you heard earlier, he made all the videos for us. He's got like a knack for that. He's hilarious. So we tried to have as much fun while everything else around us seemed to just be gnarly and kind of lost and crumbling. And so we were, I think we were kind of a beacon light for a lot of people during the pandemic, not because we were making people laugh and stuff, but they could buy records here. And they, you know, what better thing to do sitting at home all day than to like get some music to listen to and disconnect from the internet and have this analog experience where you've bought a new record that has this beautiful cover and you can drop the needle on it. And it just really kind of helped wash away all the anxiety of the pandemic. I certainly listened to more music than I ever have. And I own the record store, you know, it was just really a balm for the times. And we were here to provide that, and for whatever reason it worked, and we're still here, and we kind of came out on the other end of it thinking, all right, well, if we can make it through a pandemic, let's get this Jackson store open, you know, and let's keep, you know, let's keep going. And so that's kind of where we are. And you know, we shipped to all 50 states during the pandemic. So I don't know what we were doing right, but we resonated with people somehow. And I'm just so grateful for it. It was really, really amazing. It was a really interesting, weird time for me personally. And also at the same time, it was really exciting. Tons of great records came out, tons of new music, tons of reissues. So every day we were getting in new stuff, new stock. And I was excited as a listener, as a record buyer myself. So I knew I could pass that kind of on to our customers. Like, well, if he's excited about this, then, you know, maybe there's some good stuff going on out there. And I certainly think we'll look back on this time 10, 15, 20 years from now and look at all the great art that was made. And we're just lucky we were able to kind of facilitate some of it and get it into the right hands. But yeah, man, it was a weird time. Still is a weird time. We're still, you know, the mask mandate in Oxford just got lifted this week. We're still requiring masks in our store. Nobody really knows what to do still. You know, we're just going to hang in there until the CDC kind of says, yeah, you go back to normal, which might not ever happen. So we pivoted once, we pivoted twice, we can do it again. But yeah.
You know, I love hearing about how art got people through like any tough time, but specifically, you know, yes. Right now we're in this moment.
Oh man, yeah.
You know, I mean, what in the world would we have done the past year and a half?
I don't know. You know, and I contemplated that a lot. Like if I didn't have books and music and, you know, sculptures out in the middle of the field, in the parks here in Oxford to go look at, man, it would have been bad. It would have been real bad. And for so many people too, that picked up new ways of being an artist and having an outlet. You know, I talked to so many people that got into painting or finally recorded a record that they'd been working on, or, you know, or started writing poetry, or, you know, all that kind of stuff. And so there'll be a lot of good that comes out of this. I just, you know, we just got to get through it.
Was there any particular, whether it be a book or, you know, an album or whatever, but was there any particular piece of art that kind of helped you personally get through?
Yeah, definitely. The first thing that pops in my head is this record by Pharoah Sanders, the jazz saxophone player. He made a record with this electronic artist that goes by Floating Points. Mm-hmm. And it was the title of the record's Promises. And it's this kind of long, and they recorded it with the London Philharmonic. And it's just an absolutely beautiful record. And it's a kind of a long form piece of instrumental music with Pharoah playing saxophone, with Pharoah playing saxophone. It was released on the Luakabop label, which is a record label that David Byrne from the Talking Heads founded. It is a beautiful record. And I probably played it more during the pandemic than any other album. We started a little section on our online shop called the Isolation Zone during the pandemic. And we filled that section up with records that were kind of meant for a meditative type state and a kind of like ambient music, new age music, stuff to kind of get you in a better headspace. And this record was always at the top of that list. It's unfortunately out of print right now, but it's coming back into print in November. So we'll have copies of it in November. And if you're into anything like that, if you're into jazz, if you're into electronic, if you're into classical, if you're into just chilling and not thinking about anything, this record is for you. I highly recommend it.
I feel like I have this whole library of albums to check out after this conversation. So thank you.
Very exciting.
You know, it's something I've been thinking about. I love vinyl. I love listening to actual records. And we're almost out of time. So before we say goodbye, I want to like just hear your thoughts on why vinyl, why listen to music in that format?
Yeah. Well, I think that's such a loaded question for somebody that owns a record store.
Sorry.
But, you know, I mean, well, the basic thing is it's analog. And if you have a good stereo and you have a good turntable, and I'm talking about a nice turntable with a good needle on it, not one of these like little suitcase ones, you know, a good turntable and a good clean record, that will sound better than anything else you're going to listen to. And just trust me on that, it will. But the other thing is you're owning your music. You know, I mean, look at iTunes. It went away overnight. And think about all those MP3s that people bought that were lost. And that's going to happen again. Streaming is going to get really expensive, or it's going to change in some way. It's going to go away, but records won't. You know, I always use this like really cheesy analogy where, like, if you bring a date home and you're like, hey, you want to listen to some music? Check out my Spotify playlist. And it's like, that is not cool. But if you bring them home and you're like, hey, pick a record out and we'll put it on the turntable, you know, you might be getting somewhere. And I think that analogy really holds true.
That's awesome.
And what better place to bring a date than a record store?
Thanks for listening to this MPB Think Radio podcast. MPB depends on support from listeners, so if you can, please contribute today at mpbonline.org.
Hi, I'm Walt Grayson. You can now listen to the wild, weird, and wonderful stories of Mississippi with Mile Marker.
Some of the big names that travel up and down the highways, obviously Elvis and Johnny Cash, and you have Jerry Lee Lewis, Carl Perkins.
Join me as we hit the roads of Mississippi on Mile Marker.
Johnny Cash suggested that Carl write a song called Blue Suede Shoes. That was all kind of created with Aaron Amory.
You can listen by going to mpbonline.org/radio or by using your favorite podcasting app.